for joining me for episode 11 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a hell of a week. This past weekend, Jen and I went to Southern California, had a bunch of drinks, met some super rad people, visited some really cool bars, and got engaged. Nothing too major or life-altering. Anyways, my guests this week are Ryan and Jen of Tiki Problems. If you're a Tiki file, and I know y'all are, you've definitely seen their posts on Instagram. They're probably most notable for their super cool Mai Tai shirt, the link for which is in the show notes. We met up at their place on Sunday night, tasted a ton of rum, and then proceeded to record a podcast to try and get to the root of just what are Tiki Problems. I hope you all enjoy this episode, because it was a blast hanging out with Ryan and Jen. If you dig the podcast, I hope you'll consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts. That's the best way for Marooned to reach new listeners. And if you haven't already, you'll definitely want to join the Marooned Facebook group, as I'm going to be announcing a few giveaways really soon. There's no specific drink for this episode, so fire up the Total Tiki app, pick an old favorite, or maybe pick something new, and sit back and enjoy episode 11 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. We've had it before, and it's never been an issue.
Okay, good. It can be very loud for its size.
And rambunctious. The little ones always are, though.
Yeah. Very bossy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He's having his third dinner today. So. Now that we're home, he'll eat everything.
So did you take him with you on the road?
No. Sometimes we do, and he would do pretty good, but like for him to get in the car is like a 3-hour walk.
Oh, okay.
So he'll just pace the whole time. He doesn't really just like sit down, rest.
Thanks. So,
yeah. All right, let's get ready to embarrass ourselves.
Have you been to Foundation?
Yeah.
I just found out about it recently. And when you were saying Milwaukee, I couldn't think of what the bar was that was there.
Foundation. So when we left Milwaukee, it was not a tiki bar. So it kind of was like a slow evolution. It was kind of like a punk rock bar. And Don, the guy who runs it, he just like slowly started introducing it. So when I went back and went there, when it was like full transformation, it was like, oh my God. Because we never had a tiki bar. We never had anything. We had Bryant's.
We had at random.
Those aren't tiki bars.
They were cocktail bars.
But cocktail bars.
They would do like big bowls of things or scorpions, that kind of thing. And it was just like going in, you'd have one drink, and it was like a meal. You'd be so full by the time you left. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, it was uncomfortable.
But yeah, Foundation's amazing.
Yeah, I saw the pictures online. Then apparently they have an Airbnb above it, is what I heard.
Wait, did they run it?
I don't know who runs it, but yeah, it's a tiki-themed Airbnb, like on the second floor.
Oh my God.
So you can stay up there, drink, and then just walk upstairs to go to sleep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's really cool. Boy, our Airbnb is not that cool.
No.
Well, cheers, everybody.
Yes, cheers. Thank you for having us over. We're here with Jen and Ryan, Tiki Problems.
We're recording this already?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
So, yeah, thank you guys for having us over and making drinks.
Oh, yeah, our pleasure.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you guys so far. I wanted to get you guys on the record and, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say any of that stuff we said before.
Oh, that was some really good stuff. You guys won't hear about any of that, but if you send me a message, if you slide into my DMs on Instagram, maybe I'll tell you guys.
We'll keep it clean. Wait. Can we curse on this podcast?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, good. We're drinking rum now, so.
Yeah.
It kind of comes with the territory.
Actually. Hold this. There we go. Split the difference between you guys. Here you both.
I feel like we should do a duet.
Yeah, there you go.
No. That's
what do you guys know? I'll look up the lyrics for something.
Pass.
Go. I got you, babe. Let's do it.
In the stream.
No, definitely not.
So what would you describe as Tiki Problem? I found out about you guys, of course, through Instagram. I bought your shirt, which I love.
Yay.
That's a great shirt.
Thank you.
So what would you describe the Tiki Problem brand as?
Well, I don't think I've ever thought of it as a brand before.
No, it's just, I wouldn't think we were a brand either, but we just had an idea for the shirt and then thought it was funny, fun, so we made it. And then we didn't really expect people to like it as much as they do, but they do.
Yeah.
And then we just thought it would be funny to call it ourselves Tiki Problems because we just keep buying things. We love, like, as you could tell by being in our house, just randomness, like very eclectic taste in art and tchotchkes and vintage and, you know, so.
Yeah, people just know us from our Instagram account and then now that shirt, which it was just a funny idea and we did it and people liked it. We're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a great shirt. I mean, yeah. It's everything that you need for a Tiki t-shirt to be.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, like, you know, nobody will, like, unless they actually know what a Mai Tai
exactly.
is.
Exactly, and it's not on the nose. It's not a picture of a Mai Tai. It's not a picture of a Tiki
mug. It
doesn't
say rum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, it's a super cool idea. I know one of the bartenders at Lay Low in Houston, she has one.
Yeah.
So she's always wearing it, so. Yeah, it's definitely out there.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that photo, actually. That was pretty cool. And it's kind of cool, like, when it just pops up, like, people just tag it, and it's kind of funny. Like, I don't think we were the first ones to use the hashtag Tiki Problems. We started the Instagram account, like, I don't know, like 2 years ago or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Year and a half. And, it was just kind of like when we were like, all right, we have Tiki Problems. Like, it's just kind of growing. So we're like, all right, well, let's just start this account because, like, we thought it would be funny to document it. Because our friends are all like, you guys have a problem. We're like, we do have a problem. And it just kind of keep growing. So we just, like, started documenting it. And then, yeah, it just kind of went from there. And then, yeah, it didn't start with the shirt. Like, that was just, like, an idea we had.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we just wanted to document our downward spiral.
Or upward. I mean, it just depends how you look at that.
Yeah.
From a certain perspective.
And we make a lot of drinks, so we drink probably more than we should. But.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's just a good time to mention we're hungover.
Can't be a Tiki Problem without drinking the drinks.
Exactly. And that, you know what, that can be a Tiki Problem, is drinking too many drinks. So it all, you know, it's all relative.
If I may quote the wisest man I know, Homer Simpson, alcohol, the cause and solution. To all of life's problems.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Here, Homer J.
Yes.
To Homer J.
To Homer Simpson.
Yes. So what got you guys into Tiki?
Oh, boy. excuse me. So like we were saying before, we're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin originally. We didn't have Tiki bars. Like, we left there 12 years ago, and actually, I guess we recorded the first part, too, so... But we had been drinking things like scorpions and stuff inside bars that we liked that were like cocktail bars, like, but old school cocktail bars. So it was Bryant's at Random, and that was like all we really knew. Then we moved out to San Diego, and of course everybody goes to Bali High.
Mm-hmm.
So like probably like our first year here, we went there and we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I don't think we really got too into it until about 4 years ago. And one day Jennifer was like, hey, there's this thing called Tiki Oasis going on. And we're like, what? And like, it was the first time we kind of discovered that there was like this culture, this underground, this cool, like, connection of all these different things. And she's like, yeah, it's free to go on, during the day for the market part. So we went there and we were just like, whoa, like we just didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
And then, it's just like spiraled from there.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anything?
No. So we've been going ever since. But it's always a good time.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
Tiki Oasis is like, have you guys been?
No. We've never been. It just seems like it's gotten so crowded. Everything sells out so quickly.
Yeah,
last year was really, it sold out fast. I don't think the years past or before that did not sell out that quickly.
Well, and then thematically, I mean, Spy, of course, it's a cool theme. But if I would have gone, it would have been the Monster Island.
Yeah, we were
which
there.
Which is the
cool.
Just like the coolest theme.
Yeah, we'd be in the. So, like, it's like a. They do, like, all the symposiums and everything, and, like, the the market's like the coolest market ever. But then at night, it's like the hotel gives you the option of getting a room with or without furniture. So the people who get it without furniture get it with the intent on turning it into a bar. So like it's a massive bar crawl at night, and it's the coolest thing. But yeah, that year we'd go to all the room crawls and like be dancing next to Frankenstein and like people just in like crazy costumes. Mm-hmm. People actually go out of their way. The themes are pretty cool. People, well, if you like the theme, people will get into it and go nuts with it, and it's pretty cool to see. It's worth doing at least once.
Costumes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I say, if I am gonna go, I want it to be the right theme. I mean, this year's is pretty cool. What is it? The South Pacific.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The South Pacific Theater. That's a cool theme. But I'll wait until they do the next monster one, because that's just... It was so cool. The monster that they had there to take pictures with.
Oh, yeah.
All the glasses they did were super cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, the show is called Marooned, because in Texas, I feel that we've been marooned. There are tiki's going on everywhere else. We have it now, of course, with Lalo in Houston, but we don't have it the way other places have it. So, what is it like for you guys having tiki, like, in your backyard, having Tiki Oasis here, having False Idol, having Grass Skirt, like with it so readily available? I mean,
I feel like we take it for granted, honestly. I mean, we were talking earlier about being in San Diego and thinking about how many times, you know, we see the ocean. Mm-hmm. Like, you just kind of, you don't forget it's there. You just kind of like, you're like, oh, we can go tomorrow. But yeah, right now it's amazing. Like, False Idol's an amazing bar. We go out a lot and drink a lot. I mean, that's it. I mean, we have amazing bars here, and we go quite frequently.
Well, everyone is so nice. So, I mean, the tiki community, people are just really very welcoming and kind to each other. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And we do like SD Ohana here, first Monday of every month, and then there's a Thursday meetup. So then everyone dresses and, you know, their fun aloha wear and go out after work. I mean, sometimes on a Monday you need that, but it can be hard to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's Monday.
I think that's been the coolest thing about kind of the dive into tiki culture is how inclusive and welcoming it is. Like, that's been like the most amazing thing. People are like, oh, you're into that crazy thing too? We're into that crazy thing. Like, everybody's so welcoming, it's kind of staggering. Like, we've met so many amazing people. I guess this is the one upside to being here and being close to LA and Palm Springs and everything. Like, you know, everybody kind of knows everybody. So, you know, you go to one bar or even go to another city, like, everybody knows everyone. Like, Palm Springs, we just came back from Palm Springs today. And, like, that's a super, super small town. But it's really tight-knit. I mean, they have 3 tiki bars in Palm Springs. And it's cool because it's, you know, just really welcoming. And that's been the coolest thing for us. So it was just kind of shocking, actually.
Yeah, and the people are so welcoming, like you were saying. I don't think there's people who are just like, yeah, I'm kind of into tiki. It's okay. Like, the people who are into tiki, they're into tiki. Like, that's their thing. So to meet other people who are just as into it as you are, it's always fun. It's great getting to meet people like you guys. If it were not for tiki, we would have never crossed paths, I'm sure. And we would have never come over. We wouldn't be hanging out. We wouldn't have been tasting rums together, just bullshitting, talking Steve Gutenberg movies, you know.
For the record, that wasn't me talking shit about Steve Gutenberg. I think he's a fantastic artist.
He's a terrific human being.
Very talented.
Very, very talented. Wait, he's in a tiki, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's on his way over here, right? You guys invited him.
He lives next door.
Okay, so let's go get him. For the record, he's probably not their neighbor. I can't say he's not because I don't know that. I don't know who your neighbor is.
We don't know that he's not our neighbor either.
Okay,
so he very well could be our neighbor. No, okay. I mean, not only is it like the most welcoming thing, what I think also Tiki Oasis made us see that the heritage that is currently where we are going with tiki is also like this cross section of all these different things, which I think is amazing. Like, you can't. Like, if you say, like, exotica is the only tiki music, it's kind of like, oh, there's a lot of other people doing cool stuff. But then, like, when you go there, it's like the greaser culture, the burlesque culture, like the, you know, there's just like all these cool, like, overlapping things that you wouldn't think about are connected. But then you go to something like Tiki Oasis and you're like, holy shit, it makes sense. Like, yeah, I mean, we're all like, you know, united under the freak flag or whatever it is. But it's like, no, it's the coolest thing. And it's very, very different. And like when you tell people about it, like there's a car show at Tiki Oasis and the cars are awesome. And then like if you tell somebody who doesn't know what it is, they're like, why is there a car show there? And they're like, unless you're there, you don't really, you're there and you're like, oh, it just makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. There's something about it. Like it's, everybody's united under the flag.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here in your living room area, I guess you would say, dining area. Tell me a little bit about it. What's the bar? I like it. Is it?
It's a Witco.
Yeah, that's what I thought. With the stools. Yeah.
It's an original Witco, and you should actually pick up one of those stools. It's like solid wood. It's
amazing. Is it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was actually a Craigslist find.
Yeah.
That people in San Diego will be mad when I say this, but we got it really, really cheap on Craigslist, and I think I probably happened to see it like a couple hours after it was posted, and got it for a really, really, really good price. And the guy was nice enough to like deliver it to our house too. And he said his dad shipped it from Hawaii or something.
Wow!
Like it made its way like
from
Hawaii or something crazy like that. I mean, I don't know. I kind of felt bad paying as little as I did for it.
He said he had told us that when they found it, it was sitting in someone's backyard and just kind of rotting away. And so he brought it back, refinished everything, kind of put it back together. You can't even tell, like, that it was...
Oh, are you getting verklempt?
I am.
Oh, buddy. It's okay. Can I go pet it? Okay, buddy.
You're home now.
You're home. You found your way home. Jen's got to get up and excuse herself.
Anyway, it's a great bar. The stools are great. And then you're working on your backyard as well. What's the plan or what's your end game there?
Good
I know question. There's no completion as we were discussing. You're never done with it. But what are you looking to get towards?
You know, I don't know. Like, we started it because we had space and we wanted to build something. And, you know, it just took... We started in like October, I think. It started by just, you know, you put up four posts and then you put up a frame and then suddenly you have a box. You have like a scene and you're like, all right, what are you going to do with this? So what we have is kind of like, for the listeners at home, kind of like a pergola, which is what you call like an outdoor structure, I guess. But it's kind of like that. So it's like open air aside from like curtains we have. But we wanted to do something that was indoor, outdoor. So it's mostly outdoor, which has its own like difficulties because like... You know, rain, not that it rains much here, but like rain, bugs, birds, things like that, it gets kind of tricky. But I mean, we tried to do it as affordably as possible. We got a lot of free materials, like free wood and stuff on Craigslist, and you know, just try to find interesting things to do with them. The funny thing is we didn't start with a plan. Like, we actually kind of just started building. Like, we found, I was like, hey, we should get some pallets. Like, that'd be a great way to get some wood and like start building something. So then we got pallets. And after we put up the structure, we're like, okay, well, now we know what size the bar should be because now we have the thing. And then we start put the framework in. And then we found this guy's old deck material and picked it up. And then suddenly we're like, okay, now that's the top of the bar. And like, you just kind of add it. But we didn't really design it. We just kind of started building it. I mean, for us, I don't think there's like an end to it in sight. We just wanted to, you know, build a place where, you know, it's escapism at the core. Like, you step out somewhere else and then like, you know, you're transported.
Yeah,
you
know, hang out at the pool and make a drink and then go lay out.
Yeah. And it's I don't know, we kind of joke about like it's never going to be done, but like it probably won't. You know, you kind of just keep adding and adding and adding, and you know, the mug collection starts to migrate out there, and like you just kind of keep going with it. It's a fun project.
Yeah.
And it's you know, If I'm going to spend time doing something and building something, like, that's a great way to, you know, have a little pride in something that you built from the ground up, from scratch, and, you know, designed it and made it a part of our home. So, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool project. I like all the floats out there. It's you can see where you're heading towards. I mean, I don't know that you're going the false idol route and every inch of the roof or every inch of the ceiling's going to be covered in floats, but, you know.
I don't know that that would be... wise, given that we have earthquakes here. Actually, I don't know. I'm curious if there's been a significant earthquake since False Idols opened their doors, but like, I hope those things are anchored in. Anybody who hasn't been there, they do pretty much the entire ceiling is glass floats. I don't think there's maybe by the waterfall, or maybe isn't. But yeah, the entire ceiling is glass floats, and it's like a bunker. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, you know, you go in this place and you're transported, and it makes you forget about your day, your 9 to 5, your whatever you were doing before. And I think that's obviously escapism, and that immersive experience is part of what Tiki is to a certain extent. But so to answer your question, I don't think we're going to cover the whole ceiling with floats.
All right. Well, now that we got that out of the way, yes. False Idol was incredibly impressive. Honestly, that's probably my top three of all Tiki bars we've been to at this point.
Yeah.
Just because the drinks were quality, the decor, all the Bosco carvings lining the walls. It's just amazing. I'm like, how did they manage to measure and fit every square inch of that wall to be filled exactly? Like, there's no space. They all, like, line up perfectly. That dude, he did some great work.
It is beautiful. It's a really, really, really beautiful place. And it's, I don't know, it's, you know, for our home city bar to have that here, it's just so awesome. Right, Jen? Jen has joined us again.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm trying to get over this cold. And every time I talk, it, like, catches up with me.
Oh.
And then you just start coughing.
Rum is good for colds.
Yeah.
I have some.
So, Tiki bars, what other than your hometown bars, what are the ones you've been to? What which ones do you like?
Oh, boy. Well, we were just talking about Foundation, I think, just because we're proud of our hometown, Milwaukee, and the fact that we have one there. I would put that in the top of my list. False Idol is amazing. I really enjoyed Pagan Idol. It was really, really, really cool.
We had a Pagan Idol takeover in San Antonio a couple weeks ago. Doc,
yeah.
He came out and he was making drinks, and he's a great bartender. He was making really, really good stuff. So
yeah, that, I mean, I don't know. I think part of it is like the experience you go when you, like, the memory you have because of the experience you had there changes your thought about the place in a sense. And I was in, unfortunately, Jennifer wasn't with me on the San Francisco trip, but when I was there, we were talking about this earlier. I always sit at the bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always talk to bartenders. Always, like, tell them what you like and, like, say, like, hey, you make me something. I often go dealer's choice. I often, like, say, like, oh, I usually drink this, make me whatever. And the coolest thing about that is sometimes you get, like, off-menu crazy stuff. And I did that there, and I honestly don't even remember, like, what I drank there, but I had such a cool, amazing experience. And that place is beautiful, too. Very different, but, yeah, it's awesome. I'd say that place. I really like Pagan Idol a lot. I'd throw Foundation in there, too. Just because we saw the transformation of it, you know, like what Don's done with it is so cool. But like what we remember it from, like 12 years ago when we lived there, it was a very different bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scene was very different. And then going back after, you know, 12 years and seeing how it's like evolved, it's just like, oh, you know, like a little soft spot in your heart. You're like, oh, that's so awesome. He's a freak like us. We love it. You know. But Don is an amazing bartender. And, like, same thing. I went there one night. I was back in, I forget what it was. But, yeah, I was like, you know, what's good? I didn't even know he was the owner. He just happened to be there on, like, a Tuesday night or whatever. And he's like, oh, I'll make you something. And, like, you know, as soon as he's like, oh, he's a freak like me. Then it's like, oh, he just starts making stuff. He made me what he calls a Don Tie. Anybody who ever goes to Foundation, ask him for a Don Tie, by the way.
Okay.
And so this, it's like a bitter Mai Tai, basically. But what he does, funny story, he uses a full ounce of Angostura bitters, which is crazy. Like, it's like, and also, like, the cost, we were just having this conversation yesterday or today, mm-hmm. The cost of, like, Angostura as, like, an alcohol that you would buy in a big bottle to use like that is really expensive.
Yeah.
But he was saying he pops all the tops, the dashers off his bottles because he can't pour it. Like, he can't do an ounce of dashed bitters. Like, it just doesn't work. But I had the drink, and I was just like, you know, you taste the love and the evolution of, like, how something like that came to be. Like, you have to be, like, a mad scientist to come up with a drink like
to
that.
To say, I'm going to use an ounce of Ango in this drink.
Yeah, and it sounds crazy, but it was absolutely delicious. And then I never would have thought to do that.
I'm wondering if that's something that's popular up in that region, because when we were at Three Dots last year, the bartender there there is a guy at the bar drinking Mai Tais. She's like, you want to try something really cool? She's like, I can make you this different kind of Mai Tai. And she did the same thing. She took the bottle of Ango, she popped the top off and started pouring it. And I didn't follow, I didn't ask her about it because she was making it for somebody else. But that's really funny that you mentioned that because that's the only other time I've seen that.
So you didn't have it?
No, I didn't have it. The other, there was some guy down at the end of the bar, but she was making it for him. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, maybe that is a Midwest thing. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's very possible that may be something just there.
It was super good. The funny thing is, like, Angostura is such a specific flavor, and like, rarely do you ever have more than like 2 or 3 or 4 dashes in a drink ever.
Yeah.
Then when you're drinking it, he didn't tell me what it was until I started drinking it. Then he's like, "That's an ounce of Angostura bitter." So I'm like, "No, it's not." And then like, taste it again. And I'm like, "Okay." Yeah, maybe, really? Is that what you're doing? He's like, he shows me the bottle. He's like, I take all the tops off and tells me the story. I'm like, that is so awesome. Like, it's just like this weird, you know, if you had a bitter Mai Tai, it's kind of like that, but distinctly Angostura.
Very interesting.
Pretty awesome.
And you make drinks yourself here at home. What is your specialty, or what does Jen have you make for her?
Let's see. Usually 3 dots, Mai Tai. Jungle Bird. Yeah.
We have an orange tree that hangs over the back fence in our yard from our neighbor's house.
That's so, fair game.
It is.
Yeah, so we drink a lot of 3 dots. And then we make pimento dram. And Jen actually makes almond milk. So we make orgeat too. So usually it's derived from like the things that we make as much as possible, or the tree that we pillage from our neighbors. It hangs over our fence, so I feel like it's our tree.
Yeah.
Like at least that fifth of it's our
that,
tree.
Yeah, that part that's over your yard, that's yours. So yeah. I'm glad you bring that up, because I saw you just posted that you're working on a batch of pimento dram. So how long have you been making your own syrups and ingredients?
Oh, geez, a couple of years, probably. I think, like, for us, when we fell down the rabbit hole of tiki, part of it was, I mean, for me anyway, like escapism, but also cocktails. Like, I loved when I discovered rum. We were talking about this earlier. Like, I was a whiskey guy originally, and like, rum is like this whole other world of like the Wild West of like alcohol. Like, you can't say you like rum or don't like rum, because there's no possible way you would have had enough of them to really formulate an opinion. If you have, at least you gave it a good shot. Like, sure, you can not like rum, but like, there's so many crazy rums out there, and so many like opportunities and drinks that are specific to certain rums. Like, that is so awesome. What was the question? I'm sorry.
we've been drinking some rum for a while, so it's all right. No, just what do you normally make, or what syrups are you making? What is your pimento recipe? How are you making it?
The recipe that I used for the pimento dram is kind of a hybrid of a couple different sources. It's traditionally allspice, rum, brown sugar, syrup. I use a little cinnamon in mine, which I saw somebody, actually don't remember where I got that recipe, but I kind of wing it. Like, I mean, it's one of those things that's like such a distinct, bold flavor. There's a lot of room for experimentation in it. Like, a couple cinnamon sticks in there is not going to like mess up the batch.
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of one of those things we explore. And then Jen's been making almond milk forever, and it's super delicious. So like, every time she makes a batch of that, we make a batch of orgeat or whatever it might be. But like, yeah, I mean, we try to make as much of it as we can from scratch, because it tastes better. Like, no disrespect to the guys out there selling like the shelf stable syrups and all that stuff, but like, I don't think anybody would argue that like doing it at home is not going to be better. Like, making it from scratch is always better.
That's what I always find so bizarre, is people posting the drinks that they made, and they're using like a bottled simple syrup. I'm like,
oh, you follow Steve Gutenberg's account too?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like, that's, they call it simple syrup because it's so simple to make.
It's amazing to me that simple syrup comes in a bottle.
Exactly.
Like, I don't even know, like,
I just don't get it. Like, dude, take the 4 minutes that it takes to make it.
Yeah.
And you'll be so proud of yourself. Like, and you can brag to Eric.
Yeah.
I make my own simple.
It's
kind of a big deal.
It's,
you know,
it's so easy. And in California, we also have a lot of Mexican markets. So we can get like passion fruit pulp in the frozen section, which is amazing. Like, if you've never made syrups from that. It's just like, whoa. And it took me forever. Like, strangely, we have all these markets. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, they have it there. They have it there. Look for Goya. Look for Goya. It took me a while to find it. But once I found it, like, I always stock up and, like, keep it. Because it's like, the passion fruit flavor is so much more pronounced and delicious than, like, any pre-made syrup that's shelf-stable could ever be.
Yeah.
The only thing we haven't really made is Falernum.
Right.
That's the only thing. Otherwise, like, all the syrups we use, all the Orgeat, the dram, and also, to circle back to that, Pimento dram is really easy to make. Like, I mean, finding allspice is probably the most difficult part, but it's just easy to make. It's all easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, none of them are really all that time-consuming. It's just the minimal amount of work that it does take. A lot of people don't want to do that. Like, making Orgeat. Orgeat is super easy.
Yeah. Especially since you have somebody at home who's already gonna make tasty, delicious almond milk.
Yeah. But people don't want to take the time to, you know, let the stuff soak, then drain it, then do all that stuff. Making the syrup, making the simple to mix it in with. I don't mind. It doesn't take that long, and it's always so much better.
Yeah, the dram that we make takes 2 weeks. But I really don't think you would have to really wait that long. It's such a punchy, really pronounced flavor. Like, I don't know, but the recipes that I saw were like, oh, wait 2 weeks. So that's actually the most difficult part, is waiting 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you have to plan it.
Plan it accordingly.
Sure, yeah, because you don't want to run out. Like, so that's the most difficult
but
part.
But we like to cook anyway, so we like being in the kitchen in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you don't really enjoy that part of your home, you're probably not going to make a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yourself, you know, you're going to go and buy the simple syrup out of the bottle just because it's convenient.
That's a really good point. I never really made the connection between, like, what about cocktails we like being also similar to why we like to cook. Mm-hmm. Like, we love to cook. We love it. We cook all the time, make as much from scratch as possible. And I think that's probably why we really like cocktails. I mean, it's like, it's just fun. And
yeah,
and like, yes, there's disastrous things that happen, but yeah, it's just fun, and like, it's like an infinite world of possibilities.
Yeah, the correlation definitely makes sense when you think about it. Yeah, if you, and that may be why the people who buy the pre-made stuff, maybe that's why they buy it, because they don't have that confidence in the kitchen, or yeah, it may be they just don't want to do it, or they're just not familiar with making anything really. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, the Goya stuff, that's the best. I mean, I find it at Target, in our local Targets. Yeah, and they have, like, piles of it, so I always grab at least two or three every time I go.
The flat, mm-hmm, the big...
Oh, yes.
That's so funny.
We our Targets don't have it.
Yeah. But that stuff is so good.
That's a South Texas Target for you.
You know, nice. Here's another interesting San Diego thing. So the company, what is it called? English and something, something. The last company that manufactures Fashionola.
Oh, was it John English?
John English, yeah.
Yeah.
That's out of San Diego.
Is it really?
Yeah, and I didn't know that until, like, recently. And funny story, and probably when this podcast goes out, this will no longer be true, but they still sell bottles of it on eBay.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it before, and I don't know what to make with it, so I'm like, I'm not going to order one.
Yeah, and then, like, if you go down the rabbit hole of, like, you know, all the message boards that tell you, like, oh,
use this like raspberry this. Smuckers.
Yeah, the jelly recipes. Yeah,
exactly. No, believe me, I've done the deep dive on Tiki Central and read all the posts.
But then you see the bottle, and, like, I've already been making all this stuff at home, and then you look at the bottle, and it's like corn syrup, and I was like, okay, it's cool that that company still makes it, and it's cool that that product still exists and is tied to this world of cocktails and tiki, but I'm still gonna make it. Like, I actually wouldn't mind getting a bottle of it just to taste it, because, like, yeah, if it was similar to the formula, I actually wonder if the formula's still the same, but if it's still that way, I just want to taste it to know, like, how, like, what it tastes like, and then, like, be able to make something like it. But I wouldn't want to use the whole bottle of
yeah,
it.
Especially when the first ingredient is corn syrup.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably water, corn syrup, orange number 4, and, like, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I found that out. I was like, oh, they're in San Diego. That's kind of funny.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to keep in mind for the next time we come to visit. Try and find out who's making it or where they're making it and hit them up.
Hey, you guys are still here for, like, another 12 hours. I feel like that'd be a field trip. Go knock on the door. That's probably some, like, warehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you want what?
Yeah. It's not too late. I'm going to go right now. Let's go right now.
I'll brush the dust off the box in the back that we have.
Yeah.
It's probably been sitting there since 1960.
Yeah, because it's highly shelf stable.
Oh, completely. And still on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not an outrageous price, but it's, you know, it's just...
No, it's like $19.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's cool. I don't know. That's slightly outrageous for me. But it's a syrup. You know, it's sugar and water and some type of fruit or fruit derivative. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like you should need to pay $18 for a bottle of syrup, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for making your own kind of things if you just take the time and you can. I mean, everybody could.
It's yeah.
Just try it.
So did you do the Smucker's recipe?
I haven't tried it yet, no. I haven't gone looking for raspberry Smucker's. So. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't. But I read that. And I was like, that's funny. But like, to my earlier point, it's like somebody actually was like, this is what it tastes like. So I kind of want to have that experience, like get the bottle to know, like if it's actually the original recipe, what it does taste like, to know how close you can come. Because yeah. As you know, like... a cocktail shifts so drastically based on like the little bit of anything, right? Now we're accustomed to like passion fruit and Goya, and we're using this and this and this, but like how similar is that really to what they were doing? Like, we don't really know.
Yeah. Nobody knows. The Mai Tai that we know as the 44 Mai Tai is just somebody's best approximation for researching, and we think this is how it should taste, so yeah. We're going to call this the 44 Mai Tai because we used what we could find that was similar to this recipe that we decoded, and now we're just going to go ahead and we'll all accept that this is how the 44 Mai Tai originally tasted, or how it should have tasted.
Until Martin Cade opens that bottle.
Until then, yeah.
Because he has a bottle.
Yes.
Martin, if you're listening, you and Steve Gutenberg, maybe you should tell us what it tastes
yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
Open it up.
Well, and I know that when they did uncover those few bottles a few years ago, they were saying they sent one to some bar in London, and they didn't know what they had, so they were just pouring it in, like, rum and Cokes.
Oh, no.
That's heartbreaking.
I know. How devastating.
Well, I thought somebody had it and actually, like, documented, like, what it tasted like. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, like, if you really want to analyze it, right? Like, do you think, like, the limes and the oranges we have today taste like what they tasted like when those guys were making those drinks in, like, the 30s and the 40s?
No. They've evolved since then.
Right. So, like, what we know as the drink... probably, I mean, it's the closest approximation to it we can. No doubt in my mind that fruit was amazing back then, but it was also like something not everybody could get, which is probably why a lot of people really liked that, because it was escapist, it was tropical. It was like, you know, they didn't have fruit trees hanging over from their neighbor's yard that they could pillage fruit from. So, you know, when you went to the bar, you got that experience, but like, I mean, yeah, that rum, perfect example, but also like, oranges, limes, like, you know, demerara sugar, like things like that. It's like, does it really taste like it tasted like in the 30s and the 40s? Like, I mean, we don't know. Somebody's grandfather might know.
Well, and then there's just so many different types of those fruits.
Yeah.
Is it key limes? Is it Mexican limes? Like,
it's a good point.
It's just, and they all taste different. It's yeah. So you just work within your means and hopefully you're getting the right thing. I mean, I go to our local grocery store and I'll, you can tell that there's different kinds of limes in the lime bin. I'm like, these two don't look the same at all, but I'll try them. Like, it says the recipe says lime. It doesn't say what kind of lime. Mm. Hopefully they both taste okay.
I mean, we really don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's delicious and you like it,
exactly,
it inspires you to do more or explore more or cook more or like try other things, like you're doing something right. I mean, all the more to just keep continuing on the path because it's delicious.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's tiki. It's supposed to be a good time.
It is. Yeah, which is why we're partially hungover today, too. Sometimes it's too much fun. Too much fun.
Sometimes.
For 2 days in a row. Yeah.
Palm Springs almost killed us.
Yeah, I'm glad we came home today.
Well, and on that note, because I know it is late on a Sunday evening, thank you guys again for inviting us over and sharing your rums. Thank you for bringing me back the wonderful bootlegger mug. I do appreciate that. It was great to finally meet you guys. I know we always talk on Instagram and Reddit. I'm not sure which one is responding to my Reddit posts, so who's responding to my Instagram posts, but...
Yeah, well, we trade off here and there, so...
I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, well...
One mind.
I know one of you is really into Martinique rums, because somebody always... responds to my to whenever there's a bottle of Martinique in the pictures. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
So now I know that's Ryan.
No, that's definitely Jennifer.
But yes, thank you again. If you guys want to check out the Facebook group for Marooned, check us out. We have a lot. We're trying to get more discussions on there. We're moving away from the Facebook page, moving into the Facebook group. You guys are Tiki Problems on Instagram, at Tiki Problems. Where can people buy the Great Mai Tai shirt? You also have the bag as well, correct?
Yeah, and a ladies' tank top.
Okay.
In Tahiti blue. Excuse me again. Evil germs. But yeah, you can get it at my web store, which is orangeblush.com. I also have it on the Etsy store. And so if you go to the link in our Instagram profile and just click add, it'll take you to the page.
Okay, so at Tiki Problems, click the link in the bio to buy the awesome Mai Tai shirt. Again, thank you guys. It's been a blast. It's a pleasure meeting you guys.
Thank you for
me too.
Yeah.
Until next time, Akole Maluna, y'all.
How do we do?